You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
Everybody, my name is Matt. I'm glad to be here with you this morning. If it's your first time here, we're glad to have you here. I tell you, I'm really glad for this guy. I'm really glad for Randy Shivers. I just have to tell a real quick little story on him. We had Linda Kittrell's memorial service on Thursday night, and Jake and Randy and I call him Shivers because we got two Randys on staff. But we're all circled up after the memorial service. It was just a wonderful time with wonderful people, and he made boxes of the goodies that they were giving out after the memorial service. He made boxes, and he said, "Hey, you guys go home. You go spend time with your kids. I'll take care of making sure everything's wrapped up." And just, Randy, you're a really thoughtful, considerate guy. I really appreciate you being on this team. Yeah. And I always appreciate you finding a way to sneak sugar into our house and get my kids so they won't go to bed. That's just great. So, good morning. Good morning. It's good to have you all here. We have been going through the Gospel of Mark, and it has been a blast. And this morning, it's time to party. You guys don't seem like you're ready for a party. Okay. Did anybody bring snacks? Anybody bring refreshments? Okay. If you didn't bring the apps, if you didn't bring the dip, if you didn't, we might have a problem. We might not have enough if you didn't realize there was a party today. You didn't realize this was a celebration week? Okay, this week, our Catholic friends are celebrating the Feast of St. Mark. Yeah, how cool is that, that this week is actually the Feast of St. Mark, and we've been studying the Gospel of Mark. Did you know that the Catholic Church represents St. Mark with a lion? You'll see sometimes a picture of him with a lion. You want to know why? Because Mark's Gospel starts with a roar. The other Gospels start with genealogies, with a theological metaphor, but not so the Gospel of Mark. It starts with action, and it never stops to catch its breath. It keeps roaring. So let's keep this Gospel of Mark party going, right? Ain't no party like a St. Mark party, because a St. Mark party don't stop. Hey, ho, hey. I tried twice. Thanks, Brent. Thanks. I appreciate you helping me out. All right. Okay. I don't know what kind of party St. Mark would throw, but maybe what we should be singing is "Ain't No Gospel Like a St. Mark Gospel," because a St. Mark gospel don't stop. Right? We are going to be talking, even if we're not throwing a party, we're going to be talking about throwing a party this morning, and we're going to be talking about who throws a good party, and how when you show up to this guy's party, you always have enough. Jesus' first miracle that he ever performed was at a party, and it was his mom. His mom said, hey, come here. I need you to do something. And Jesus said, no, it's not my time. It's not my time yet, but he still perform this miracle to save this party. But today's party in Mark chapter 6 that we're going to read, it happened on his watch and at a time and place of his choosing, and it was a really good party. Before we jump into Mark chapter 6, though, there's also something else special I want to let you know about, and it's a podcast episode that we recorded, a couple of us on staff, Lou Brandhorst, who works in our children's ministry, does stuff with Grace Groups, which is about mental health services, great support group. We recorded a special episode of our podcast. If you're podcast people, I mean, sometimes you see somebody walk by and you go, "That's a podcast person." I can tell. If you're a podcast person, go to wherever you listen to podcasts and search for Parkside Christian Church. You can find our weekly messages there, but you'll also find special conversations where maybe it's a guest that we have coming in that we have them do a short little podcast. Lou does episodes with me fairly often, but we were talking about this passage, and she just brought some really great things to light. We want in our message times to point people to Jesus, to help each other grow in our relationship and our passion and obedience to Jesus. And so I'd really encourage you, go subscribe to that podcast so it pops up into your phone. you know, I'm not pretending like I'm some great communicator. Most people forget almost 90% of stuff that they hear the first time. And so if you want to remember this, if you want to try and apply it, listen to that podcast and give yourself a second time during the week or one of the special episodes, give yourself another chance to hear that and hopefully let it sink into your heart, sink into your mind, and be something that you apply. So we're going to talk about Jesus the party planner in a little bit in Mark chapter 6, but first we've got to talk about Jesus the teacher. The disciples, that's another word for student, called Jesus their rabbi. He was their teacher, and even when he wasn't teaching, class was already in session. Mark chapter 6, if you want to follow along, we're going to start in verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Quick flashback. 2 weeks ago, Randy Adams, we've been in Mark chapter 6 for several weeks now. 2 weeks ago, Randy Adams talked about the start of Mark 6, where Jesus sends the disciples out to minister to surrounding towns and share the good news of Jesus. So they go out, remember that, and now they've returned to evaluate their successes and their failures. He's mentoring them. He's coaching them. Jesus, in all moments, is their teacher. They've watched him, they've served with him, and now they've had this opportunity to go and serve without him, and they're sharing through, they're talking through their experience. And it's so interesting to me. It's so interesting to me that in the midst of his coaching, he emphasizes the need for them to find a quiet place to get some rest. Jesus knows how tiring ministry can be. Let's just get this out of the way right now, too. When I say ministry, when I say that word, I'm not talking about something that comes with a job title. I'm not talking about the profession of ministry, even though ministry can be tiring. I'm talking about caring for others. What I mean by ministry is caring about and caring for people. It's tiring. It's hard. It's exhausting to care not just for yourself. I mean, gosh, all of us here know it's tiring just to care for ourselves. But when we try and care for others around us, it's exhausting because there's always plenty of needy people around us. Your already busy life fills up and you get even busier. Rodney Cooper, in the Holman New Testament commentary on Mark, writes, "Jesus knew what it felt like to heal people, to have crowds press upon him, to preach from town to town until his voice was hoarse, to get so caught up in God's business that daily needs were forgotten. His compassion reached out to the disciples, and he encouraged them to come away from the crowds and get some rest." This is one of the things that makes Jesus such a good teacher. The kind of teacher that doesn't just teach the textbook, but teaches to the people. The kind of teacher that changes your whole life. The kind of teacher who really cares about his students. And so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. The Holman commentary on Mark also notes, they got into a boat and they tried to find a quiet place. Luke 9:10 implies that they were going to the northeastern side of the Sea of Galilee, but too many people saw them leave and they ran to catch up. And this is likely a distance of like 4 or 5 miles on foot, so it's not out of the realm of possibility. It's realistic that, especially if they were sailing into a strong wind, that the people could have beat them there. But Jesus didn't view this crowd as an inconvenience. There might have been some weariness, maybe some disappointment on the part of the disciples, but Jesus felt compassion for the people. And the phrase that's used is that they were like sheep without a shepherd. That phrase, the Jesus that we're reading about here in Mark 6, is the same Jesus that we've been trying to let teach us and shape us for the past few years out of Matthew chapter 9. If you've been here a while, you've heard us talk about it as we talk about living generously. It's about how we want to minister, how we want to care to others. We want to care for others by being generous with our time, our talent, and our treasures. And for us, the heart of that is pulled out of Matthew chapter 9, 35 through 39. Jesus is going through all these towns and villages, healing people and teaching people. And when he sees crowds, it says there in Matthew 9, 2, it says he had compassion on them because they were harassed like sheep without a shepherd. But in Matthew chapter 9, the thing that's added there at the end is he tells his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. There are a ton of people that need to be cared for. He goes, but the workers are few. There's not a lot of people caring about them. And he finishes it by saying, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers out into the harvest. We want to be motivated to care for people like Jesus was in Mark chapter 6 and Mark chapter 9. It's really true that ministering, caring for people can find you while you try to rest. And when ministry finds you while you're trying to rest, it is such a teachable moment. And Jesus is taking advantage of this teachable moment. God can teach us so much when we'd rather be resting and we find that there's somebody that needs his love and care. One time I was mowing my yard, and it was in the middle of the summer. I was hot and sweaty trying to get it done. And my phone rings, and I had to answer my phone because I was the minister on call. That meant if there was an emergency in the church, it was going to be my phone that rang. And so I picked it up, and I said, yeah, hello, this is Matt. How can I help you? And it was a lady in our church named Carol. And Carol, I just love Carol. But Carol was a person that needed a lot of care. She needed a lot of ministering to because she didn't have a support system. She had grown up in a way where she didn't really have family around her. She didn't have people caring for her. In so many ways, she was. She was like a sheep without a shepherd. And so I go, yeah, Carol, what's going on? How can I help you? And I'm at the same time looking at my yard. How much more do I have to do? And she goes, Matt, I don't know where I am. And I wanted to say, well, Carol, I don't know where you are either, and you don't know where I am, so it sounds like we've got this all figured out. Some of you just judged me. You're like, that's awful. Oh, that might have been in the back of my head, but that's not what I said. I just went, you know, Carol, what's going on? And she said, hey, I've got this flat tire, and I don't know where I am. And so I did. I went into CSI, crime scene investigation mode. Tell me what's around you. And she described things, and I said, that sounds like Milford. I'm heading your way. I told Alicia, I said, hey, I'll get to the rest of the grass at some point. I've got to go take care of this. And so I did. I drove up, and I finally found her. She was on the street that I thought she was on, and she said, hey, thank you so much. I gave her a big hug, talking with her. I said, well, let's get this spare tire on. Pop your trunk. She pops her trunk. And it is filled with giant plastic containers that are filled with pennies. I'm not kidding you. Hundreds of pounds of pennies. And I had to take them out. I mean, like heavy lifting. I had to rearrange stuff in the backseat of her car so I could put these pennies in. And then I had to get the jack out. And we get the tire swapped out. And I go, well, let's go to a tire store. There's a tire store up the road. Let's get your tire fixed. Let's get you a new tire. And she looks at me really, really seriously, and she goes, Matt, I don't have money for this to get fixed. And I jokingly said, you think they'll take pennies? You're like, we got it. If we can pay by the pound, we're good. And we did. We go, and praise God. I was praying so hard because selfishly I wanted to get my grass done. But really, in that moment, I'm caring for this lady who I go, she can't take care of this herself. Praise God, we found a mechanic who was just a good man and said, you know, I'll take care of her. I'll make sure this gets taken care of. But in that moment, you guys have had those moments too. You've had ministry show up in your lives where all of a sudden you feel the Holy Spirit telling you, you need to care. And you kind of have other things that you got going on. Or you're tired. You're worn out. What's your motivation in that moment? Do you see the invisible person? Do you see Carol? What is it that you want to say on that phone? Lord, please give us eyes that see. Give us a heart for the hurting. Help us to be teachable. Help us to be willing to make space in our schedules, God, when ministry, when caring for people comes calling. Even when we feel like they won't stop chasing us, don't let them become invisible. Verse 35, by this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. And here is to where we get to Jesus, the party planner. And it might not seem like it. It might seem like it's the end of the day. It's time to punch out. Everybody's supposed to go home. But Jesus is about to throw a party. And whether it's Mark 6 or the rest of the Gospels, I am so glad that Jesus doesn't send us home, but he throws us a party that all of us can come to. Verse 37, he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages." I don't know if that's an inflation moment. I don't know if they were dealing with the same market, you know, circumstances that we are. They said, "Are we supposed to go spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Jesus says, "You feed them. You, go see. See what we've got. Let's take care of them. Let's not send them home." In the book, Exalting Jesus in Mark, it says, it's one thing to recognize a legitimate need. It's another thing to do something about it. At first blush, Jesus' command to feed them seems unreasonable, even insane. But still, the disciples give it their best shot. Full of unbelief, they at least obey the instructions of their master. And they get to, as a result, participate in one of the Lord's greatest miracles. It says 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the word for loaves here is misleading. The parallel passage in John chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, it reveals that the loaves were not bread loaves that we would typically see in a grocery market or a supermarket. They were small barley cakes, not much bigger than a roll, something that a poor person would eat. And the disciples must have thought that there was no way for those meager provisions to feed a crowd. But when we're with Jesus, we don't have to rely on human means. But still, I mean, we're talking about biscuits, crackers, and 2 fish. Do you know what this is? I mean, to put this in perspective for you, this is a tuna snack pack, right? Have you seen these things? I mean, it's just like a little container of tuna and some crackers. I mean, line up, everybody. Let's see. Well, maybe everybody might not get a whole cracker, and you might not get a whole lot of fish, but you will get a part of a cracker that has come in contact with fish. You thought like communion cups were small and the wafers were styrofoam? Wait till you get lunch today. I mean, can you imagine going into a FC Cincy soccer game, 25,000 people, and you run out on the field, it's halftime, and you're cracking this thing open? If everyone can get in groups of 50, we'll get you a bit of cracker. This is what they had at the start. Can we look at this snack pack and have faith in God? The disciples, they had compassion too, but they didn't see a way for the impossible to happen. Jesus cared for people, and he saw that the impossible could happen. The disciples are going to Jesus, and they're going, "Hey, we care about these people too, but if we crack open this snack pack and don't feed everybody, they are going to eat us alive. We're tired. They're tired. Can't we just go home?" Can we look at our snack pack, go and see the crowd, and say, "Okay, God, I'm going to need you to bless this." Can we look at our bank account, our paycheck, and go see our neighbors, see our community, see our world that's in need, and say, "God, I'm going to need you to bless this"? Can we look at our free time? that small sliver of time we have left at the end of the day when we're tired, and go see the need in children's ministry, go see the need for mentors in our school, the needs for foster families and childcare, the elderly and assisted living communities, the disabled and mentally delayed who need extra time and patience and love. Can we see all that need and go, God, I'm going to need you to bless this? Or do we think the most compassionate thing for all parties involved is to say, you know what, I think it'd be best if we went home? That doesn't sound to me like the party that Jesus wants to throw. It doesn't sound like the message that Jesus has for us. A little later in Mark, a couple chapters later, Jesus feeds another crowd, and he has the same motivation. It's the same MO. Verse 1 of chapter 8. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they'll collapse on the way. I can't even send them home. They won't make it because some of them have come a long distance. His disciples answered, but where in this remote place can we get enough bread to feed them? Like, we don't even have enough snack packs, even if we could buy them. When you read God's word, when you read scripture, pay attention to the emotions and feelings of Jesus, because if you want to know how God feels about you, if we want to know how God feels about us, look at what emotions we see Jesus expressing towards humanity. What do we see him feeling this week? Every passage we've read so far, compassion, compassion, compassion. Mark 6, he had compassion. Matthew 9, compassion. Mark 8, compassion. Wow, don't hear me as putting shame on you in this moment, but how do we apply the reality about Jesus' feelings that Jesus had great compassion to our lives? Jesus has compassion for us, but what's the connection? Do we have a heart that beats like Jesus? When we go and see the people in need of ministry, in need of caring around us, do we have a heart like Jesus that's filled with compassion? Verse 39, then Jesus directed them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the tuna snack pack and looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. As far as party planning go, Jesus knows how to throw a party, and he knows how to make sure there's enough. Last week, we talked about Herod and the party that he threw. It was a birthday party. It was for himself. Jesus' party wasn't anything like Herod's party, because King Jesus is a king in a way that King Herod is not a king at all. One of these is not like the other. Herod throws a party for himself. Jesus throws a party for others. Herod elevates himself above others and demands the title of king. Jesus throws the title of king out and becomes a servant. Herod invites the elite to his party. Jesus invites the lost and needy. Herod sacrifices the innocent to make sure he looks good. And Jesus is willing to be disgraced and humiliated on a cross, even though he is innocent, to sacrifice himself for those of us, all of us, who are guilty. Herod as a king is a pretender, while Jesus as the king is our defender. The world will look at both those parties and say, I want to go to the palace. But I'm telling you, you should want to go to the green grass. Don't get fooled into going to the wrong party. It gets better, though. Look at verse 39 of chapter 6. Go back for just a second. You see the word that Mark uses there? I just said it a second ago. Jesus told them to go sit in the green grass. Does that ring a bell to you? Does that remind you of anything? Listen to this. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. You prepare a table before me Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Y'all, that's my King. He's my party planner. He's my shepherd who leads me to lie down in green pastures. I lack nothing. Or as Mark puts it, he has me sit in the green grass, and I am satisfied. Jesus, the party planner, the protector, and the provider. Jesus gives us all we need, and he knows how to throw a good party. Mark 6, verse 43, the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. And some people say that's just the men, that the number could have even approached 20,000. If you flip over to Mark 8, it says the people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. You know what's funny? At the start of the stories, both of them, Mark doesn't mention any baskets. And in the story, he doesn't mention like, oh, some people had baskets. It doesn't even seem like a relevant or important point for Mark. Mark is like, look, the food miraculously appeared. I don't know where the to-go containers miraculously appeared, but they're here. We're good. A lot of people take away from this story that Jesus provides for us. The disciples had a basket left over. He cares for us. But that's not where the story leaves us. You also see that this passage shows us nothing is impossible for Jesus. And that's good. That's true. Nothing is impossible for him. But that's not the end of the story either. Jesus fills up our basket for us, doing what we see as impossible, but he does it for us along the journey. Wherever we're going, whatever our life is busy with, filled with, wearing us out, wearing us down, Jesus does along the journey. For the disciples, he provides for them while they were at work with him, doing overtime. He fills up their basket. For the crowd, he provided for them while class was in session. He didn't just teach them, he fed them. He had compassion for them all and cared for them. When you are with Jesus, you've always got enough in your basket. No matter what's in there, whether it's just a tuna snack pack or whether you feel like you've been on empty for a while, you always have what you need if you're on the journey with Jesus. If that's the conclusion to this story, though, that Jesus meets our needs, even when it's impossible, along life's journey, how are you doing that for people around you? How are you filling up other people's baskets on their journey? How are you showing compassion and caring for people on your journey? How are you welcoming them to the party, to Jesus's party, even when it interrupts your plans? Do you know how Jesus filled the baskets? Do you know how he multiplied the loaves? It was the compassion of God. The compassion of God did the impossible. Is there room for the compassion of God in your basket? My challenge to you would be, go and see. If you want to experience the power of God in your life, if you want to see him multiply your efforts, open yourself up to feel the compassion of God. Go and see your world with the compassion of God in your heart and watch as there is always enough in your basket. Whatever you need, you reach in. God's going to give you what you need. Do you think Jesus would tell his disciples, go and see, and not tell us the same thing? Jesus, in the midst of our tiredness, in the midst of our work, in the midst of our business, he's telling us, go see. Go see the needs of your family. See what I've put in your basket for your family. Go see the needs of your coworkers. Maybe you detest them. Maybe you don't want to spend time with them at all, but go see with the compassion of God in your heart and see what God has placed in your basket to invite them to the party. Go see and pray like Jesus prayed, Lord, I'm going to need you to bless this. We're going to enter into a time of communion. And Jesus liked spending time, whether you call it parties, whether you call it feasts, whether you call it meals. He liked spending time with his disciples. And he provided for them. And when we have communion, and if you're watching online and need to grab something, go grab something for communion. We'll be here when you get back. Or if you're here in person, you can grab it from the black tables around the room. Go ahead, you can hop up and get it. We do it every week. But when Jesus was sitting down at the Last Supper with his disciples, and he took the bread out and broke it, and he took the wine and he passed it around, they were having a celebration together. They were having a feast, but he was preparing them for something else. You see, Jesus was wanting to make it possible for them to go to another party, for them to go to an eternal feast, an eternal celebration. He was wanting to make it possible for them to be with God. Sometimes we get so caught up in the busyness of our days, the busyness of our schedules, that we forget we can't get to that party on our own. We're trying so hard to get to our destination, we realize that there is a life beyond this life and that we need grace desperately. Jesus has given us an invitation and we just got it in our back pocket, just holding on to it. I would really encourage you, go and see. Ask God to experience his compassion, whether it's the first time where you're embracing this compassion and discovering that a God has cared for your needs before you even knew you had them, or maybe it's the flip side, where you felt like you don't have anything in your basket and you said, let's just send everybody home. Maybe God has ministry for you to do, where he wants to send you back out with the baskets, let you serve, and let you come back with even more than you started. Let me pray. Lord, we lift this all up to you. I think about Jesus taking the loaves and the fish and lifting them up to you and asking you to bless them, Lord. We ask that you'd bless us, but not in a selfish way, that you would just bless us so that we can be good, Lord. Help us to go and see the world around us that's in need. Take our baskets with us and fill them up so that we can pour them out to those in need. As we have this time of communion, as we remember your body sacrificed for us, your blood shed for us, thank you for your compassion. Thank you that you looked upon us and said, they're like sheep without a shepherd, and you decided to throw a party, a feast, a celebration that all of us could come to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit parksidechristian.com.